Okay, good night, Shabbos Rabbos. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Hey, and again, our shir is B'schos Rav Hirsch Lema for Nami Mirav Hashanah of Gemazel, and for Shir Abbas Dvorah Leah, Shabbat Yeshua Bekarov. We are here on the bottom of Dalam Mabez, about 6 or 7 lines up. Michlal de Tarvayu, Svir Lehu, etc., etc. We have been talking about the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to where we learn the pre show of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, the separating the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur. Where do you learn that from? So Rabbi Yochanan says we learn it from the Miluim, which I actually have been misspeaking slightly. I've been saying that it's found in Parsha Shmini. Yes, in Echanami, the 8th day for the Chanukah Samishkan was in Parsha Shmini, but the actual Miluim itself is in Parsha Tzav, where they separate Ka'aron 7 days before. As we'll see today, the Tziva, the commandment to do such a thing, is in Parsha Tzav. And we'll see, we'll have to reconcile the text in both those cases. Okay, we'll see that a little bit today. But anyway, Rabbi Yochanan says that you learn it from the Miluim, just like they separated Aaron 7 days before the Yom HaShmini, so too we do by Yom Kippur. And Reish Lakish says, no, we learned from Matan Torah that Moshe was in the cloud for six days before going up to see Kosh Baruch Hu on the 7th. So that's the machlokas that we've been having. So the Gemara just points out over here, Michlal de Tarvayu, Sviru Lehu Miluim, Kol HaKosov Behem Ma'akiv Behem. Apparently, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold that anything that was Ma'akiv, that anything that was done by the Miluim was Ma'akiv, meaning every piece of the Miluim was relevant, was shayach, was crucial. I mean, if they missed any part of the avoda by the miluim, it was no good. Markus said miluim, Rabbi, about the miluim, the may miluim. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, charam are kol akasu behem akiv behem, charam are davrash hamakiv the doros makiv behem, shein makiv bedaros in makiv behem. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. One of them holds that everything by the miluim, by the 7 days prepping before the Chanukah and Mishkan, was crucial. And one of them says that only the avodas that are ma'akev later, meaning any avoda that is crucial to the service in the future, like any service in Beis Hamikdash, not necessarily in the miluim setting, but anything that would be ma'akev as the years pass, that was ma'akev by the miluim. But anything that was not ma'akev in future generations was not ma'akev, was not crucial to be yotze for the miluim avoda. So the Gemara just points out that tistayim Rabbi Yochanan hu da'amar kol hakosov behem ma'akev behem. It makes sense to say that Rabbi Yochanan is the one in this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Excuse me, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that everything that was written by the Miluim was Ma'akev. Because if you remember, part of the back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan was the following. He said, Imam Miluim kol hakosov behem ma'akev behem. If you'll tell me that by the Miluim everything is crucial for that service to be Yotze, the Miluim, so how could you tell me that we learn the same process from preparing the Kohen to Yom Kippur? Because we see that, what did the Mishnah say? If you remember what he said yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that the backup is not separated 7 days before Yom Kippur, just like the Kohen Gadol, right? We said there's a backup in case the Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh or something. So the backup does not have Prisha for 7 days. So that was Reish Lakish's argument. So how do you learn it from the Miluim? Right? I thought everything is crucial by the Miluim. And the Gemara says, V'loka mahadir v'lo midi. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond to that claim. So testayim, so therefore it makes sense that Rabbi Yochanan agrees that everything that was written by the Miluim was ma'akev. Right? He got around that question another way. Right? He didn't say, oh, I disagree with that principle. So it must be that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold that anything that was written by the Miluim was Ma'akev, was crucial for the service, as opposed to Rabbi Chanina's Shita, that it was only something, an avoda that would be crucial in the future, that was Ma'akev, and anything else was not Ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Ma'ibinahu, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina? What avoda was not crucial, was not Ma'akev, Ladoros? What avoda, what's the difference between these two opinions? What avoda was not Ma'akev in the Miluim? Because it's not ma'akev in the future. And as you might imagine, we're going to have a bunch of possibilities. And the Gemara, well, obviously, every time we mention a possibility, we'll ask what the source is that this specific avoda is not ma'akev, is not crucial to whatever service we're doing. So Amar Rav Yosef, first suggestion, smicha ika beinayu, that there's smicha, that leaning on the animal before you bring the korban, that is the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. According to the one who says that anything written by the Meluim was crucial, so smicha ma'akvas, apparently it was crucial. Right, to lean again when you bring a korban, so you lean your head on the animal with all your force. Lamanda amar davar she'in ma'akiv the doros in ma'akiv b'hem, but according to the one who says that something that will not be crucial to an avoda in the future, it was not ma'akiv by the Meluim as well. So smicha lo ma'akva. Smicha is not crucial for the korban to work. If you bring korban chatas, but for whatever reason you don't do smicha, so the korban is still good. So Gemara says, "Uludoros minolan de lo ma'akva." How do you know that in fact is true, that smicha is not ma'akev? D'tanya, because we learned in a brayso, of a samach v'nirtza, that you lean and there is acceptance. And right, nirtza from right from Pesach, or that our chasal sidur Pesach, that our whole Seder night should be accepted. So the korban is accepted. The korban is good after the smicha. The Gemara says, "V'chi smicha mechaperes." One second, the smicha is not what mechaper. It's not the crucial part of the service. It's not what atones for a person, right? V'halo ein kapara ela b'dam, right? The blood is what is mechaper. Shneimar Zbozik says, "Ki adam hu nefesh hu b'nefesh shechaper." Right? The blood is what is mechaper. So ma talmud lomar v'samach v'nirtza. So what do you mean to tell me that if you lean, the korban is accepted? Shame also the smicha shiari mitzvah milo lakasov ki lo keeper vekeeper. Very funny phrase, but that if you made smicha like shiari hamitzvah, meaning if you made smicha like the leftovers of the mitzvah, meaning i.e. you didn't do it, right? You didn't treat it seriously enough, you didn't do it. So milo lakasov ki ilu lo keeper. It's as if there was no atonement. But v'chiper, but there still was atonement, and what that kind of backwards sounding phrase basically means, we can have it a couple of times. That's why I just want to highlight it. It basically means if you didn't do smicha, it's okay, but it's not the best way to bring the korban. I mean, it's a b'di'evit. It's a B plus. It's a, you know, you didn't do the korban like you should, but it's not ma'akiv. Okay. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says another possibility, that's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, tenufa, ikabeinahi, that waving, certain korbanos require waving. For example, if you bring korban shlamim, so you wave the shok and the leg and the breast, I believe. Okay, part of the meat. Part of the meat has some sort of waving service that they have to do. When I say waving, I literally mean waving, like you wave it around, up and around. Not like waving with your hand, right? You don't have to wave at the meat, right? You pick the meat up in your hand and you wave it in different directions, kind of like lulav. Anyway, so that's the nafkamina between the two. L'man d'amar kol ha'kozav b'hem akiv b'hem, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who say that anything written by the Miluim was crucial, was ma'akiv, so then ma'akiv, then it is ma'akiv. You had to do the waving also, otherwise it was no good. L'man d'amar d'avar she'in ma'akiv l'doros in ma'akiv b'hem. But according to Rabbi Chanino, who says that something that's not going to be ma'akiv in future avoda, in future services, and the Beis HaMikdash was not ma'akev by the Miluim, so it was lo ma'akva, right? The waving was not ma'akev in the Miluim either. So Gemara says again, Uludoros menola de lo ma'akva, how do you know that waving is not a crucial part of the service? Titania, similarly, we learned that the Pasuk says, L'tznufa lechaper, that the waving is mechaper. L'tznufa mechaper is fa'lo in kapar el abadam. Well, what do you mean? The waving is not what creates atonement? It's the blood. So therefore, ma tam lomar, what does the pasuk teach me when it says letznufa lechaper? What does that mean? Shem asa letznufa shiari mitzvah. Again, same phrase. If you made the tznufa, the leftovers of the mitzvah, if you did it, if you missed it, if you didn't treat it seriously, so then the Torah considers it as if you did not affect atonement, but v'chiper, but you still affected atonement. You still, the korban still worked. Okay. Fine. Rav Papa gives a third suggestion. Our precious Shiva Igavinayu, right? Our topic, separating the coin for 7 days, is an afkamina. Lamadam Markolakosov Bahem Ma'akiv Bahem. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you say that anything written by the Miluim is Ma'akiv, so then Ma'akiva, then you needed to separate the coin for 7 days. But Lamadam Radavish Ainu Ma'akiv, the Doros Ainu Ma'akiv, but according to Rabbi Chanino, who says that it's something that is not crucial for the generations come afterwards, is not Ma'akiv by the Miluim either, so then Lo Ma'akiv, then it's not Ma'akiv. Uludoros Minala, the Lo Ma'akiv. And how do you know that separating the Kohen Gadol 7 days before the Avodah Yom Kippur is not crucial, it's not ma'akev, it does not impact the service if you don't do it? Midikatani, because again, as we explained, our Mishnah says, Matkinin, we prepare a backup, Velukatani Mafrishin, but we don't separate a backup. So if the backup has to go in, so he hasn't been separated for 7 days before the Avodah, but his Avodah is still good, and that's how we know that it's fine. Ravina, Amar Ravina says, a fourth possibility, Ribui Shiva Umashicha Shiva. That having, now just to explain a little bit what this is talking about, that there's two ways that Kohen Gadol can be, anointed or appointed. I guess that's specific difference. Ribui is referring to Ribui Begadon, that he can have wear the Big Day Kahuna, and Mashicha is anointing. So he can either be, I guess, appointed or anointed, right, whether he's wearing the Begadim or he's anointed with oil. So the question is whether he needed to wear those extra begadim of the Kohen Gadol, or get the anointment with Shemen HaMishcha for 7 days in a row. In the Mandam are called a Kasa Behem Akev Behem Akoin, so the one who says that, you know, anything that's written by the Miluim was Ma'akev, so then it is Ma'akva, then it was crucial. Well, the Mandam are Darvish Ein Ma'akev, the Darvish Ein Ma'akev Behem, but someone who says, according to Rabbi Chanina, who says that something that's not going to be crucial in the future generations, it's not Ma'akev, so then Lo Ma'akva, it was not crucial for the Miluim as well. The Lodoros Minola de Lomakva, and how do you know that having the Kohen Gadol, having 7 days with the Shemen HaMishcha, not straight in oil, but being anointed for 7 days straight, or wearing the Begadim for 7 days straight, is not Ma'akev, his service? The Tanya, because we learned in the Brisa, V'chipera Kohen HaShem Shacho, Sova HaShem Alei HaSedo, L'chaim Tachas Aviv. When you literally the Kohen that's has been either anointed or appointed, right? So to be the Kohen Gadol instead of his father, he will be mechaper. He will do the avoda. Ma Talmud Lomer. What do you need? What is that pasuk saying? Right? The Fisha Nemar Shivas Yamim Yil Basham HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav. Right? It already says. It says 7 days. Right? The Kohen Gadol has to wear the previous Kohen Gadol's clothing. Right? His son, Mustam, or one of his forefathers. Right, so the pasuk already says he has to wear the clothing for 7 days. So the Gemara says, "Ainli ela nisrabe shiva v'nimshach shiva." That only tells me that if he was if he was wearing the clothing for 7 days or anointed for 7 days straight. What about nisrabe shiva v'nimshach yom echad? What if he was wearing the clothing for 7 days and he was anointed once, or nisrabe yom echad v'nimshach shiva, or he was anointed one day and he was wearing the clothing for 7 days, or the other way around, or he was wearing the clothing for 1 day and he was anointed for 7 days. So, Minayin, how do you know that that's still good? So, therefore, the pasuk says, Talmud Lomar, Hashem Shacho Sov, Hashem Alei Shadar, right? That's the pasuk that we quoted before, Mikol Makom, right? Regardless, in any way, right, regardless of the scenario, the possibilities that we provided above, regardless, he's still kosher to do the avoda. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ashkechan Riboy Shiva. excuse me. We just found the psukim, right, that says that you know, you need lechachila. The best way to do it is to have the Kohen Gadol dressed for 7 days in the begadim. Meshicha shiva lechachila min alan. Again, the pasuk says straight up that shiva yamim yil basham hakohen. For 7 days, the Kohen Gadol should wear these the extra begadim for the Kohen Gadol for the extra big day kahuna. Right, the Kohen Gadol has to wear. So that we have Beferish in the Pasuk. But what about, how do you know that you have to anoint him for 7 days straight? Right, that we kind of assumed, but we didn't quote a Pasuk for it. So the Gemara says, Ibois Eimam in the Ishtrach Krolimuta. Either you could say it because we need a Pasuk to exclude it. So apparently, right, that's the default, that's the rule. If the Pasuk didn't come to exclude it, right, it wouldn't be a rule. Or another answer, Ibois Eimam, Damakra, because this Pasuk says, Big Day Kodesh Asher Le'aron Yiyu Levanav Acharav L'mashcha Vahem. And the Big Day Kahuna should be for Aaron and his sons afterwards to be anointed with them. Right, and to fulfill, right, their father's role. So, Itkish Meshicha Le'ribui. So we have both things mentioned in that pasuk. You have wearing the begadim and the anointing. Ma'ribui shiva af meshicha shiva. Just like wearing the big day kuna has to be for 7 days, so too the anointing has to be for 7 days as well. Okay, now where do we go here? My time at the Mada Amar call a kasa behem ma'akev. Now we obviously again at the beginning we quoted this machlokas whether everything that was written by the miluim is ma'akev or not. And the Gemara simply asks, right, where do you get that from? What is the logic? What is the reason for Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish who hold that everything that is written by the Miluim is ma'akev, is crucial, and if you're missing one aspect, it wasn't good. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Amar Kala, the pasuk says, V'asisa el Aaron ulevanav kacha. You should do to Aaron and his sons like this, kacha ikuvahu. Kacha implies that it's ma'akev. Right? Do all of this, right? You have to do it like this, meaning that everything is specific and everything is ma'akev and everything is crucial. So Tenach kol milsa d'ksiva b'hayin yana. Okay, that works for everything that is written in this part. Right? If you look at Rashi, b'parshas tzava t'milum shenamer b'tatzava. That works for everything that was written in the parsha of tzava that when Hashem told Moshe to do this to all the kohanim. But because again, that pasuk is right. That pasuk is in parshas tzava. Right, kacha. But what about milsadol ksiva b'hayin yana minalam? What about something that was not written in Parshas Tetzaveh, but other things that were done later, some of the things that are written by Parshas Tetzaveh, Parshas Shemini? So how do you know that that was also ma'akev? Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, yalef pasach pasach, or pesach pesach. Yeah, we have the word pesach by both Parshas Tetzaveh and Parshas Shemini, and by Parshas Tetzaveh. So therefore, right, we see that everything was ma'akev. Rav Misharshia Amar Ushmarta Mes Mishmaris Hashem. The pasuk there says in Parshas. Let's see, where is that pasuk? That pasuk in Parshas Tzav, I think. Ah, we're gonna have right. It's gonna be a couple psukim over here that we're gonna quote. It's actually one long pasuk. The pasuk says, "Upezach ol moed teshvu yomam v'layla shivas yomim ushmartem es mishmeres Hashem v'lo samusu ki chen suvesi." We're going to have those three parts of that pasuk are going to be possibilities. Whereas the first thing Rabbi Nachum bar Yitzchak says, "Pesach pesach right, pesach ol moed," right, you have gzeir shava. But Mishashi says, "No." Later in the pasuk it says, "Ushmartem es mishmeres Hashem." Right, you should keep what Hashem wanted. Hey, that's ikuva. That tells me it's ma'akev. Rav Ashi, I'm a kichein suvesi because I was commanded. Right, that's what Moshe says. And so therefore, ikuva, we see that it is crucial and it is ma'akev. And now that we mentioned that phrase kichein suvesi, we're also going to mention a couple other places where Moshe said, "I was commanded by Kosh Baruch Hu, therefore do this." And Lamaisa, right, we're going to obviously that seems to be strange because everything, right, Moshe didn't make anything up, right? Everything that Moshe said was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why would Moshe say Ki Chein Tzuvesi? Because this is why I was commanded. So the first one we just had is Rav Ashi said because to tell us that everything was ma'akev, that everything was crucial to the service. So now we quote two other places, really in the same place. Now, really, it's all in the same area, and we'll explain exactly what's going on. We read last week's Parsha. Let's see. It says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, was under the Braisa, Kichin Tzuvesi, Kasher Tzuvesi, Kasher Tzivah Hashem. Those three times, Moshe told Aaron, Hashem commanded me to do these things. Now, what are those three, Sugim? So basically, if you remember last week's Parsha, so on the Yom HaShemini, on the eighth day, when they had the inauguration of the Mishkan, so there were three Kohanim that they had to bring, that the Aaron and his sons had to bring. There was a Korban Mincha, a Korban Shlomim, and a Korban Chatas. Now the Mincha and the Shlomim were part of the inauguration service of the Chanukah HaMishkan, but the Chatas was for Rosh Chodesh, because it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what happened was, unfortunately, as we know, another Venavi who passed away, and Aaron and his sons ended up being Onanim. They ended up being an Onan, which is the status of someone who, Rachman al Tzad, loses a relative, right, on that day. So the question is whether they should have eaten the korbanos when they're still aninos. So now Moshe told them to eat it, to eat the mincha, and to eat the korbanos. And then Moshe found out that the chatos had not been eaten, rather it had been burnt, meaning they had not eaten it. So just that's the three psukim over there. Kichein suvesi was to eat the korban mincha, kasher tziva Hashem was to eat the shlamim, and kasher tzivesi was also about the chatas when he found out that it had not been eaten. He had said, "I had been commanded that you should actually, in fact, eat it." Okay, so that's what those three psukim are referring to. So the Gemara says, now back in the Gemara, right? Kichein tzivesi, kasher tzivesi, kasher tziva Hashem. So kichein tzivesi ba'aninus yochluha, that you should eat it in aninus. You should eat it when, even though you are an onen Aaron. And Moshe is saying to Aaron, kasher tzivesi b'shas maisa amar lahem. That's what Moshe was saying at that time. when he found out that they had not eaten it, and he said to him, to kind of reinforce his point, he's like, well, I was commanded by Hashem that you should eat it. It's like, Asher tziva Hashem, like Hashem commanded, v'lo me'alai ani omer. Again, Moshe said, he reinforced it. It's not, I'm not telling you to eat it, that was the, what was that? That was by the Shlomim. Right? That was, I'm not telling you to eat that by the Shlomim. It was a Kosh Baruch who said it. Now, Enoch and Ami, if you remember the continuation of that story, that Aaron kind of pointed out to Moshe that he was wrong. That Kosh Baruch Hu only told him to tell them to eat the Mincha and the Shlomim and not the Chatas. And Aaron had one-upped him a little bit, and Moshe had admitted that he made a mistake. Okay, fine. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Now, different topic now. Michnasayim, the pants of the Kohen Gadol, in Ksuvim B'Parsha. Right, it's not mentioned in the Big Day Kahuna that were worn during the Chanukah Samishkan during the Miluim. Right, but because you Omer when the pasuk says Vizad Devar Asher Tasev Lahem LaKadesh Usam LaChayin LaLi. Right, so what is that coming to teach me? That pasuk is Lavi Hamichnasayim VaAsir Seifa, to include that they should be wearing the Michnasayim. Now, obviously, they should. Now, I mean, it's not that they shouldn't be wearing any pants, but they were special pants, right? That the Kohanim had to wear, right? So that they should wear those pants during the Chanukah Hamishkan, during the Miluim, and Asir Saifa, they should bring the korban of the Asir Saifa. That's a korban mincha made of flour. That a Kohen brings, right, when he is first inaugurated to be a Kohen and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So basically, those two things had to be done, and you learn that from that pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam Mechnasayim Ksivi Ben Yana DeBigadim." Right, okay, I understand, because the Mechnasayim, right, are written. And it makes sense that they should wear the Mechnasayim because it's written by the Begadim, by the clothing. Right, we know right beforehand. Right, if you look in the Torah, right before this pasuk, right, it's listed. In Parshat Tetzaveh, I think. Okay, either way. It's in Parshat Tetzaveh. Okay. Fine. All right. Either way, it's mentioned previously. So Lamaisa, it's written. So I understand why that puzzle comes to include the Michnasayim. Ella Asir Saifa Minolam. So, but where do you get the Asir Saifa? We're talking about clothing in this section of the Torah. Where do you get the fact that the Kohanim had to bring this Korban Mincha? So Ella. So as the Gemara says, Asiya Zeze Mivze Korban Aaron Uvanav Asher Kivu Lashem Asir Saifa. There's a clear shava of Zeze connected to right Vze Hadavar and Vze Korban Aaron Uvanav Asher Kivu Lashem Asir Saifa. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishor Shimon Bar Yochai. Minayin she'af mikra parsha ma'akev. How do you know that even reading the mikra of parsha was ma'akev? That they actually had to read a part of the Torah. What's it called? That before the miluim, right? Moshe had to kind of read over parsha's tzav almost. So how do you know that that was crucial to the avoda? That Moshe still had to instruct them what to do and say it out loud. Tamalamas, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe al ha'ida zeh adavar asher tziva Hashem." Right, afilu dibur ma'akiv. Right, even speaking was ma'akiv. Okay, fine. So that pasuk teaches me that Moshe still had to instruct them, even though they must have known what was going on anyway. Ketzad helbishan. How did Moshe dress Aaron? Now, again, part of it was putting. Right, Moshe had to put Aaron and the Kohanim's clothes on. So, how did he do that? Right, what was the procedure? Skomar says, Ketzad Albishan. And that's not a typo. That's a rhetorical question. What do you mean? How did Moshe dress Aaron? Right? Madahava Hava. What was? Right? I'm sure Moshe figured it out. Right? I'm sure he was on top of it. Right? Why are we asking now in the Gemara, right, in, I don't know, roughly 600 AD, what Moshe did to dress Aaron? So the Gemara says, no. Ela Ketzad Albishan Lasid Lava. Right. How will Moshe dress them in the future? Now, this is a fascinating question. I wasn't sure exactly what this meant. I thought that originally when I read this, I thought it meant that, when Meheri Bana Beis HaMikdash, we will need to kind of have a new Chanukah Samishkan. But if you look, it's not in Rashi, but Mistama, as the Hemshach of the Gemara seems to prove, it's actually talking about Tchiyas HaMeisim, that when Aaron and his sons come back, Moshe will have to dress them again, and we'll need to know. I would have thought that that's what the Gemara means, but it seems like that's it, as you'll see as the Gemara continues. Right, so let's just read it, right? Ketan Mabisham Lasid Lavo. So Gemara says, well, Lasid Lavo, what do you mean in the future? Nami, we also have the Keshevo Aruvanov Umoshe Imahim. seemingly implying that the whole Havamina was, well, the question was that, no, when they get resurrected, right, how will we dress Aaron? Well, Moshe will also be resurrected with them. So we just ask him, and he'll know what to do. So Ella, Ketzad Hilbishan, Lemizbar Kroy. So, really, so the question of Ketzad Halbishan, how did Moshe dress them, simply is how to understand the Psukim. Right, because the Psukim don't necessarily line up, as you'll see in a second. Right, because Pligi Bo Bnei Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yochanan, because it's a machlokes between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan, Chadam or Aaron Rachkach Banav, Chadam or Aaron Ubanav Bevas Achas. One of them says that first Moshe dressed Aaron and then his children, and one of them says that he dressed Aaron and his children at the same time. Now, obviously, I don't know how that works. I'm not saying that, I mean, rhetorically. I mean, how does it work that Moshe addressed everybody at the same time? So the Gemara will deal with that. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Blinether. That's the machlokes, that either Aaron was dressed before his sons, or they were all dressed at the same time. Amar Abaye, Biksonis with Nefes Kule Amalu Pligi de Aaron Vachkach Banav. By the Ksonis and the Mishne Nefet, by the robe and the hat, so everybody agrees that Aaron was first. Right? The Bein Bitzava, the Bein Vasiya, Aaron Kodim, because both in Parshas Tetzave and in Parshas Tzav and Shmini, so I think it's Tzav if I'm not mistaken. So Aaron is written first that he should put right that he should come before his sons. Kipli, the Machlokes is Ba'avnet, it is by the belt. Right, Mandamar Aaron Vachakach Banav, the one who says that Aaron and then his sons, right, Moshe Aaron was dressed first and then his sons put on the belt. Dechtiv, because the pasuk says Vayachgor Oso Ba'avnet, Va'odaksiv Vayachgor Osam Avnet. Right, first it says him and then it says them. Right, that pasuk is by in Parshas Tzav. So that's according to the one who says that Aaron was dressed first. Umad Amar Aaron Ubanav Vasachas, but according to the one who says they were all dressed together at the same time, Dichtiv Vechagarta Osa. It says that he dressed them, meaning implying that all of them. Right, that pasuk is in Parshas Tetzave. Right, it doesn't say Aaron and then his sons. It's in Parshas Tetzave it says Aaron and then his sons, but then his sons. But by Tetzave it says you should put all of the belts on. Lachora seeming implying at the same time. Okay, we're going to stop here, but again, that's the Stira Psukim, and that's what we're trying to figure out exactly what's going on over here, right? That was the question. Ketzad Halbisham, how did Moshe address them all at the same time? Right? Because again, we have a machlokes whether Aaron was first and then his sons, or Moshe addressed them all at the same time, put their belts on all at the same time. Okay, simply because we have a steer in psukim, we want to know what the psukim are talking about. Okay, Blinether, well, we're in the middle, but Blinether, on Motzei Shabbos, we will hopefully make a little bit more sense of what's going on over here. Have a great Shabbos, Rabbosai, and we'll speak to you, Blinether, next week.